Most of Alan Miller's films have focused on the people who make music. He won one of his two Academy Awards in 1980 for his documentary From Mao to Mozart, Isaac Stern in China. Won an Emmy in 1999 for Itzhak Perlman, Fiddling for the Future. His latest film covers a year in the life of Valery Gergiev, possibly the busiest orchestra conductor in the world. Maestro Gergiev is the artistic and general director of St. Petersburg's Mariinsky Theater, formerly known as the Kirov, where he oversees the opera, ballet, and orchestra. He's also principal conductor of the London Symphony Orchestra and principal guest conductor of the Metropolitan Opera House here in New York. You Cannot Start Without Me is the name of the film. It opens today and runs through November 22nd at Symphony Space on Broadway at 95th Street. And I'm very pleased that it has brought Alan Miller back to our show today. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
How would you describe Gergiev's conducting style?
His style in conducting is the same as his style in walking and talking, just 100% intensely focused. There's no wasted motion. There's no distraction. And he is so very much involved in the music that impresses all the players. Many conductors do that. But if you add to that some sort of a ferocity of personality, it's just all involving.
Well, you say that the people who work for him appreciate that. The people you spoke to in the film, other musicians, talked about taking direction from him, and they all seemed to be in awe and full of praise. I'd imagine there are some who don't like playing for him.
I'm sure there are people in every orchestra who, after you play for them for 10 or 15 years, the welcome wears off. But the involvement, whether they like it or not, never ceases to be 100%. I've spoken to a lot of musicians who've been there a long, long time, and they sit down to play, and he's 100%, and so they're 100%.
Well, can we hear something very specific in the style? If I were to really be sophisticated and compare a number of performances of the same piece, would I be able to spot Gergiev?
I think so. Just as there are people, you ask any real experienced violinist, whoever's playing, they can distinguish Heifetz from mm-hmm. Perlman in a second. You can distinguish style. I believe that.
What effect has he had on the international scene? Because he's all over the place.
Well, he's put himself into the international scene. I don't know what effect he's had on it. He went to Tokyo, and the prime minister there reported to Gergiev's manager when he came home. He said, there are two musicians that the Japanese like best of all, and you're both of them.
Is he viewed differently in Russia than he is abroad?
I think so, because he's at home in Russia and he knows everybody there, and his dedication to music is really to stimulating interest and success and strength in Russia.
Well, he's based in St. Petersburg, but he identifies himself as an Ossetian.
He does, because
I don't know what that means in Russia.
Well, I never found out completely because the distinctions are small, but it's like somebody from the south of the United States trying to make it big in New York. There's a little bit you have to prove yourself.
Although there's also a political aspect to it, and he did create a bit of a stir when he supported Russia in the attack on Georgia, because that's all involved with Ossetian independence.
Well, all of that is something that's happened in recent years. When he first left Ossetia at the age of 17 and went to St. Petersburg and won the competition to study there, there wasn't so much political difficulty.
He has been conducting for many, many years. He studied piano. How did he wind up conducting?
He went to school in this tiny little city in Vladikavkaz, this conservatory, where he was an outstanding pianist, a flashy pianist at the age of 11. As it says in the film, a brilliant pianist, but his teachers, because of his temperament and his intensity, said somewhere in there is a conductor. So they trained him to be a conductor and then to go to the then Leningrad Conservatory.
And he conducted the Kirov when he was just 14, took over as artistic director at the age of 35, which is young.
Yes, and that's a kind of a political job, which showed that he was not only impressive as a conductor and as a musician, but somebody that they trusted the vision of that place to.
When you say a political job, you're talking about the politics of music, but he does have a political side as well. I mean, he seems to be buddies with Vladimir Putin, and that may help him in getting money for the various things he's involved in.
Well, he's buddies with Vladimir Putin. He was buddies with George Bush. He's buddies with everybody. In Russia, when he was growing up, a lot of people became economics ministers, finance ministers, and they remained his friends. You know, people talk about how this film really shows, which is what I intended, what a conductor needs to conduct, and his skill, his intensity, his dedication, his perseverance. A lot of people have that, but he also has a certain sense of humanity. He's not doing this just for his glory. And they say, well, we don't really see enough about what Gergiev is like as a man. But my answer to that is that you don't find out about somebody by listening to them tell you things, but by watching and see what he does.
Well, also, it's apparent that his work is his life, because he doesn't seem to take very much time off, and we do see him with his family, and they joke around about the fact that he doesn't make all that many personal appearances at home.
No, he doesn't. He was very kind to let us come there. I wanted to go back to Putin to show you. You asked about his relationship with Putin. It's a dead giveaway. He says, people say, I know Vladimir Putin. He says, of course, I spoke to him 2 days ago. And then in this tone of voice, I wouldn't have called him if it wasn't something important for the country. Putin is a very busy man. I mean, I think that says a whole lot about how he views himself and about his personality.
And what would he think would be important to the country, to fix up the facility for the Marinsky?
In a broader sense, to preserve and make flourish the culture of the St. Petersburg area, yes.
Because St. Petersburg is a glorious city that has been in serious deterioration.
It was, until about the 1990s, when Putin took over, he began to get a lot of money to come. And he used that money to take the Marinsky Theater around the country and around the world, and to get those fees to come back and put them back into the Russian culture.
And it's not just the orchestra. It's also the... What is he directing the Kirov Ballet?
He often conducts them. He appoints them. He's the general director of the whole theater.
The opera as well.
Yes. You know, he liked the fact, when I asked to do this film, it took me about 2 years, he liked the fact that I had once been a conductor. And he said, how come you don't conduct anymore? And I said, well, I was really not very good. I had particular trouble to hear the second wind instruments, the second flute, the second oboe, clarinet, bassoon. He says, why didn't you ask him to play louder?
Gee, you could have had a career as a conductor after all, Alan.
No, I don't think so.
My guest is Alan Miller, who is quite a successful director of documentaries. And the latest is You Cannot Start Without Me, which opens today and runs through November 22nd at Symphony Space on Broadway at 95th Street. And that is true. You cannot, if you're a conductor, no one can start without you. I was thinking about you as a filmmaker. In a way, aren't you doing something similar? Because a conductor has to get a lot of people on board to contribute to his or her vision. And that's what a filmmaker has to do as well.
He certainly does. And he has the added trouble or task, really, of making sure that the things he needs to shoot are accessible to him. And I must say that Gergiev put me through the ringer before he agreed to do this film over a couple of years. He'd say, well, I can't talk to you now. I've got to go to her Met. But I am free a month from now in Miami. Mm-hmm. And looked at me sideways. Was I going to go? And after a while, I passed the test to let me do it, and after that, it was totally accessible. He never told me to turn off the camera anywhere.
Now, he took over the Kirov. It wasn't called the Marinsky then?
No, it was called the Kirov during the communist period.
He took it over just before the fall of communism, 1988.
That's right.
So how did the collapse of the Soviet system affect him and the theater?
It was very rough for a while, but he decided that if he could make himself an international person and take the Marinsky around, as I said, the world, he could get Western fees that he would come and put back in the theater.
And he's not just conducting the orchestra and taking care of all that other stuff. He's doing the sort of thing that administrators do as well, which is fundraising.
He's an accomplished fundraiser. He has foundations and help in many Western cities, Western countries. And he does it very well, and he seems to like to do it, and therefore, I'm sure he doesn't all the time, but he's very successful. Let me tell you why, I think. It's because every time he talks to somebody, that person seems like he's the or she is the only person in the world. He's so focused from one second to the next on whatever he's doing, and including, of course, the music.
Now, you approached him.
Yes.
And why Gergiev?
Well, I knew his work from when he came to the United States. I admire many, many other conductors. I felt that his range and his personality would be eminently filmable. There are many wonderful conductors who are very silent and very introspective and don't say very much and just show you a little of this. But he's a major dramatic personality.
And watching the film, I got a real sense of how that orchestra works. I used to sing professionally, and different conductors had different effects on us. There was some who could just raise an eyebrow, and we'd have precision. And there'd be others who'd be flailing around and doing everything you'd think they should be doing, and we'd be all over the place. And with Gergiev, you have a feeling that everybody in the orchestra knows exactly where he or she is supposed to be at any given moment.
My explanation for that, after all these years of working in music and filming and all these years of being interested in conductors, is that ultimately there's just a mystery to great performers. There's something about the personality that produces what you just described. And I hope the film shows that Gergiev produces that just in the most intensive, wonderful way.
You've been making documentaries for quite a while now. You must be pleased at the change in the world where documentaries were once the shorts that they showed, while they were people going out to get popcorn before the feature started. And now documentaries are the features.
I was told when I first came along that documentary is a dirty word, that it's not really movies. With the advent of all this small film equipment that everybody can have, high school students are now filmmakers. And a lot of bad stuff is done, but the law of averages means that there's a lot more wonderful stuff done, and people are interested in seeing what's going on, especially in social and political situations.
Aren't you one of the founders of the Symphony Space?
Yes, I am.
So how does that work? Does Isaiah take care of all of the spoken stuff and you take care of all the music stuff?
No, he and I were co-artistic directors for the first 10 years. But for the past 15 or 20 years, I haven't been associated with the organization.
Mm-hmm. Although you are showing the film there.
Yes, because it's the Thalia Theater is part of Symphony Space, which is a perfect size theater, and they have excellent equipment. Mm. So it'll be very good there.
And are you working on another project?
Yes, I am. People are hesitant to say what they are, but I'm trying to work with another violinist to find out what is that ultimate mystery. Maybe I'll have one more shot to try to find it.
The mystery of why. I've always
wondered
why.
What makes for a great communicative musician? Isn't that fascinating?
I'm fascinated by it in terms of the piano as well. Why, I'm thinking jazz terms. I can hear three notes from Art Tatum, three notes from Bud Powell, three notes from Thelonious Monk, and three notes from Bill Evans, and I know who they are immediately, and we're talking about a mechanical instrument.
You know, just briefly, all conducting teachers like to show what the difference is. They'll line up five students and ask them to come up, face the orchestra, and go, bam, the first chord, and step down. And every one of those five students with just one chord will produce a different sound in the orchestra. It's part of this incredible mystery. Glad we have that mystery.
Yeah, well, that's why music can both be familiar and revelatory at the same time, because different people bring different things to it.
You are a musician. That's spoken like a musician.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, Alan Miller. His latest project, a film called You Cannot Start Without Me, a real pay on to great music making. It opens today and runs through November 22nd at the Thalia on 95th Street off of Broadway. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, well, it was a great pleasure. Thank you, Leonard.